was either 24 hours. I got out to the National Tennis Center, and it was just amazing. I mean, it was amazingly beat up. It also was just amazingly inspiring because the kids were playing with the worst balls I'd ever seen, the worst nets, the worst courts.
I think you told me those courts were they were last paved when Eisenhower was president. Everyone, John Wertheim here. It is this week's Sports Illustrated / Tennis Channel Tennis Podcast. We're going to do something a little bit different this week. Our guest is Jake Agner. That may not be a name familiar to you, as if you were a player or coach, but Jake is director of Kids on the Ball. It's an American nonprofit based in Vermont. And what Jake did was spearhead the effort to rebuild the courts at the National Tennis Center in Havana, Cuba. I know some of you have followed this. There was a New York Times piece that our trusty producer Jamie will link. We did a Tennis Channel piece. We had a Tennis Channel delegation down there. I was lucky enough to be there with Jim Courier, Martina Navratilova, Stan Smith, Ken Solomon, the head of the network, among others. And it was a great few days of tennis and discovering, exploring Cuba. But really, Jake Agner is the driving force here. And He'll tell the story. I sort of wanted him to talk about his involvement, but he's a pro in Vermont. And again, he was moved by a feature he had seen on CBS Sunday Morning about Cuba. He went down there and suddenly has become really the benefactor of Cuban tennis. It's I think there's something instructive there about how we're motivated to get involved in social causes. Sometimes it just takes the slightest motivation and then some hard work. But thanks to Jake, they now have a functioning tennis center, basically, and he's repaved all of the courts. The next step he'll talk about will be getting the clubhouse fixed, and suddenly this teaching pro from Vermont has really changed the tennis profile of an entire country. It's a great story. Again, we will provide some links. There's a longer Tennis Channel piece forthcoming, but I wanted to get Jake on and have him talk, so let's go right to our man in Burlington. How you doing? Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Jack. Thank you.
You know, people heard bits and pieces about the Cuba project and the trip, and you know, Martina and Jim Courier going. But I thought we'd get the origin story from you. And you were really the driving force behind this. So I feel like I should get out of the way and just sort of have you to tell the story, soup to nuts.
Okay.
How'd you get into this racket? No, to tell us your role here.
Well, I've had Kids on the Ball, a scholarship program for kids that don't have the means to play tennis since 2000. So what we've done up here in Burlington is had a lot of kids involved in tennis that probably would not have a chance to play tennis. So we have scholarship tennis that comes into club tennis. We have schools tennis. We have parks tennis. And we have a really big refugee resettlement program up here in Burlington. So my program has a lot of refugees. So for the last 17 years, that program's gotten bigger and bigger. So we have a lot of kids involved every day.
And where are they from? Not Cuban refugees. You're talking about
these are kids from Somalia, Burundi, Sudan, Nepal.
And they found their way to Burlington.
They're refugees. Some Syrians. I mean, I think percentage wise, Burlington has the most refugee resettlement of any city in the country. So we have a lot of kids. But I also have what used to be sort of the standard. Kids that needed help were here, poor whites and blacks. And so, again, we've got a lot of kids. So what I've done is a lot of grassroots tennis, we call it that. It's been, I think, very successful because we've got a lot of kids that are playing, enjoying, growing as people. And some of them are really becoming good tennis players. But about a couple years ago, I was sort of at a low ebb with the behavior of some of my kids. A lot of my kids are they're coming off of refugee camps, and some of the behavior is not good. And I was watching a Sunday morning CBS show that Wynton Marsalis had done some music down in Havana. And I turned to my wife and I said, I got to see what that place is like. And just was just a thought that I just wanted to see, because it seemed like the kids were really enthusiastic. And I went down there. I got a trip through the Cuban American Friendship Society. And my wife and my daughter, who has played a lot of tennis with me, went down. And within 24 hours, they had hooked me up with the top sports people of Cuba. I was in a room with, you know, a lot of people. And they, Alberto Juan Terena, who is their sports hero of the 76 Olympics in track, was there. And they presented what they had in sport and in tennis sort of in a grainy, up on the wall.
Right.
And it just looked, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, they jerry-rigged nets to chairs, and it just looked for sure grassroots, much more grassroots than what I've done. And so I got out to the court. They wanted to, within, you know, 24 hours, I got out to the National Tennis Center. And it was just amazing. I mean, it was amazingly beat up. And it also was just amazingly inspiring because the kids were playing with the worst balls I'd ever seen, the worst nets, the worst courts.
I think you told me those courts were they were last paved when Eisenhower was president.
No, I think they were last paved actually for the
Pan Am Games?
For the Pan Am Games in, like, 1991. But this was the first project since bricks and mortar since Eisenhower. So that's where the Eisenhower... But the courts were... I mean, I'm telling you, they could have been back at Eisenhower the way they looked. I mean, it was just... They're completely beat up. The core of the ball... I've never seen the core of a ball coming out like that. And the play was inspired, physical, great athletes. But also just... the kind of kids that I just wanted to see, that kind of kid that was just not making excuses, playing hard, having fun. I just, right off the bat, I said, man, this is what I wanted to see. So I got, after a week down there, I got everybody together and I said, if I can raise the money for these courts, I'm going to go back to the States, see if I can do it. Because I've been raising a good amount of money for Kids on the Ball for all these years, because we grew and grew, and the whole thing is just to get more opportunity, and that costs more money. So I got a lot of foundations in Vermont that I am pretty connected to. So I went back. I went to the top foundation is Bob Stiller, Stiller Family Foundation, okay. Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. And he gave a tremendous start-off gift. And then I thought, this thing could work. So I went for the next months and raised up a lot of money. And after exactly two years, when I saw you down there in April, that was exactly 2 years from when the project started. And the courts, 10 nice courts are down there.
And you were able to raise this money. I mean, I just kind of want to, for context, I mean, you're a yeah. teaching pro in Vermont. You go yeah. to Cuba, you're inspired, and you're able to raise this money to redo facilities yeah. in Cuba without any sort of, yeah. this isn't the Cuban American Society yeah. of Vermont. These are just connections you have.
No. Well, I'll tell you what I've done over the years is connect with people that, for sure, foundations and people with means that I could, what I do is I tell them the story of what I do every day, because I still teach a lot of tennis. And I try to tell them just a real story. And the real stories of a lot of people are inspiring. And the kids here inspire me all the time. But down there, I was able to see, I could sort of connect that if we got courts down there, and then if the embargo was loosened up, and that if we could get an exchange of kids, both the United States and Cuba would benefit by this exchange, because I think they want to see a lot of what America's got. They want to see the talent in America, and they want to see all that. But what we need to see is the cooperation of people, the spirit of people that have been almost a siege mentality. I mean, they were together, and I've seen kids root each other on that I don't see here a lot of times. So yeah, I think that our kids here, especially my kids here that I haven't grown with, and they need to see what a successful person, how a person behaves.
I always feel like we at some level we generalize at our peril, and at the same time they're national characteristics that we'd be a fool to sort of overlook. So I mean, I just keeping that in mind, how do you describe Cuba? When people say, what are the Cuban people like? What do you tell them?
They're really social. They're friendly for sure, and they're intelligent, they're well educated, their effort is tremendous. I mean, that's a big thing. And with my kids on the ball, probably the biggest thing that we talk about is effort, and we talk about try, and we talk about that there's a feeling when you're trying that it's the best feeling, and that if you can start to want that feeling, then you'll be a successful person, because it's about trying. And that's what I saw down there, is just a bunch of people that are trying, and that's inspiring.
Where do you think tennis fits into the Cuban sports scene? I mean, I think we know about Cubans, we know about the impact Cuba's had on baseball and boxing and track and field. Where does tennis fit into this?
I went down there sort of blind to what tennis was down there. I mean, I just went down because tennis was my life, and I didn't really look up the history of tennis in Cuba. I just went in, but I was so surprised that they have a history of tennis. They have some great players that I met from the 50s. One guy down there, Orlando,
Grillo,
and then his brothers in Miami.
Right.
They were both good players in the 50s. So they had
who traveled the, we should point out pre revolution, who traveled the world, and I think one of them won the Canadian Open, and the other was a runner up one year. I mean, these guys were full time pros.
And Orlando's a tremendous person. He told me he's the only guy I'll ever meet that lost seven straight first rounds at Wimbledon. And I think that's a true statement.
Oh,
but he's a tremendous guy. And I went down there, and right off the bat, I was so surprised on the quality of tennis, and the coaches down there are tremendous. They're really inspired people. Where I'm around a lot of coaches here in America that, I'm around inspired coaches, but I'm also around, some guys going through the motions a little. And down there, I was really impressed with their national coaches. And they know the game. They watch the game. They play a lot of tennis against South America, Central America. They're way better than I thought they would be. And I think everybody I've taken down there is just surprised at the quality of tennis.
What are the biggest challenges? I mean, I think we could back that up too and just sort of talk about Cuba. I mean, I think it's this hot destination, and people from New York, JetBlue flies there direct from New York. And then I told people, I said, if you're nervous that a year from now there's going to be a Starbucks on every block, your fears are not well founded. We got a ways to go here. But what are your thoughts on Cuba?
Well, they're wary of opening up too fast, and I think you saw that down there. And just like you said, I don't think it's going fast at all. But it's moving. I mean, I've been down there 12 times now in 2 years. So I go down about every 2 months, to take down tennis balls, shoes, string, all the things that it takes to maintain a program, because they just don't have that and they don't have the funds to do it. So, I'm probably going to go down in mid-June again. But things are changing for sure. They want things for sure. They want the things that make life more comfortable and more convenient. But they also are wary of sometimes having too much, people having too much, or inequity for sure. I think they're But, you know, like when I bring a lot of stuff down, the coaches are great at handing it out in an equitable way to all these kids. I went down there one time, and I thought I was going to hand out everything. And they said, no, we'll get it to everybody. And they do that in a really – kids, I mean, it's amazing.
You're talking about the gear and some gear, of the attire gear, and the shoes.
Clothes. They need everything. So we've been bringing down as much as we can. We're just trying to bring down more and more stuff because, I mean, they got a taste of better stuff. And their tennis games have gotten better. And for sure they want some of the things we have.
What's the biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge is that we're going to have to continue to open up between the two countries.
Right.
Hopefully that's on the move because I want those kids to come to America. I mean, I want to have – there's a bunch of kids down there that I would love to have them come to Vermont or – come to Miami or come to New York and play and show how they play and who they are as people because they want to come up here. They want to show their stuff. And I want to take more and more people down. I've been taking a lot of people. In the last, I've probably taken over 100 people down on trips, let them see, let them play with the kids. I think it's a perfect place to take like a college team down there. Let them play these kids,
right.
Have community service with the little kids. It would be a great trip for a college. But the challenge, again, the challenge is just the politics of it. We continue to have to open the place up. And then what I have to the challenge is to continue to raise money enough to buy the things that they need because right now they really don't have money.
Just to be clear, I mean, could these kids would they be allowed by the government to leave the island and come to the U.S.?
Probably not. I mean, they can get you can apply for visas,
right?
But I don't think they'd let out a lot of those kids right now. I don't think so because I just know some of the interpreters that I'm around. A couple of them got denied a trip up here, so it's a process of getting allowed to come to the States.
Recognizing your role here, where do you think we are in a few years? I mean, we had it did seem like this relationship was thawing under Obama. I'm not sure where it is under our current administration.
Yeah.
Where do you think is headed?
I'm a positive thinker in this area just because I think that we're so much alike. Our Cuban guy, one time he had a lecture about the revolution and about Russia in there and things like that. And they said, man, we are so much like Americans one guy said, we're not like Russians, we're like Americans. And they have all the values that I think that I want the kids that I'm around to believe in, about cooperation, about sharing, about the importance of education, about fair play. I mean, I'm around a lot of kids down there, and then the fair play is again, inspiring to me. So I just think we're a lot alike. We want this to work, and I don't think we can turn back. I think it's going to open up, and I think we're going to both countries are going to get a lot out of the relationship.
Where do you think that the fair play especially interests me? I mean, where do you think, and you mentioned how the camaraderie and how they were supportive teammates.
Yeah.
I mean, is that from a system with a social net? Is it going far to say maybe this is one of the nicer offshoots of a communist system? And what do you think that comes from?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Is it the communist system, or I just think that I don't know, John. I think about it a lot. I think why am I continue to go? You know, there's hardship down there, and I've seen things that aren't right. And I think, but I continue to want to go down there because I come back, and I'm so much more compassionate with the kids that I'm around here because I know how hard it is here to be poor, and you're being bombarded with images of what you need to be happy. And the kids I'm around, they're so far away from that, and they just need to, they need the building blocks that we all grew up with, like get back in line, deal with failure, all the things that the game can teach you. And that's why I do it every day, because I think the game, in a simple way, can help you. I don't know, but they seem to have a social way that is, for me, it's really good. And I don't know where it came from, but they're social people. And the other thing is they're all poor. It's not like they're stratified.
I was going to ask you about that. No, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, the underprivileged and underfunded kids that you deal with in Vermont probably have a lot more exposure to wealth and material possessions and conspicuous consumption. What is the difference when everyone is at your level economically?
I think, again, what I've seen people do is share, for sure, and I've seen them not so anxious. I mean, what I'm around, like I was at a school yesterday, it's a lot of refugees that come in or at that school. It's a really low-performance school. It's a great school in a lot of ways because of the diversity, but it's just struggling with all these kids from different languages coming in. And the anxiety level of a lot of kids is tremendous. I just think that it's a shame to have a 7 or 8 year old person really anxious, because that is could be a beautiful time in your life. And I've seen it again. I've seen on the court where people calm down. Like what I do with kids up here is I do the simplest stuff. I say, if you can get 10 in a row back and forth, I'll give you a lifesaver. Or if you can get 20 in a row, and I give out prizes all the time. I mean, my whole thing is games and prizes. And I just think that games can teach you. Like I'm a real believer in games. Now, I'm not in open hitting. I don't hardly hit. There's nothing I do seems to be like just hit a ball. It's hit a ball for a reason. And you can always win or you can always lose. And I just think that's a really good way to calm down, because then you know the rules and you know the parameters. And I've seen kids calm down just by getting 10 in a row in. Because it's a short-term goal. But, again, I just speak for myself. I wake up every day and I want to play tennis because it's a simple game and it just gets me sort of straight. I think that's valuable, especially for a kid who needs to have some rhyme and reason in their lives.
Right, right. I was thinking, too, that in, you know, a woman from Puerto Rico won gold medal in singles at the most recent Olympics. Right now, there are no Cuban players, I don't think, ranked on either tour. How far are we from, you know, you've got facilities now, thanks to you. You have nice weather. How far are we? You do.
I think 3 or 4 years. There's a couple. I mean, I'm always down there looking, playing with these kids. There's two boys that are about 12 or 13 that are tremendous athletes. I introduced one kid to Stan Smith, and Stan just shook his hand and said, "Whoa, that's a good athlete." These couple kids, I think, with the training and if they get continued shoes, balls, all the things that they need, they're gonna be world class players. There's some girls down there that are 10, 11, really good athletes that I think, again, I can project out. The ones that I met originally, the best players were 16, 17, 18. It's almost too late because now that it's, well, I hate to say it's too late, but it's just now they've got the best stuff. I'm trying to give them the best stuff I can. It's going to take a couple years, 2 or 3 or 4 years, but I think they're going to come out with some players.
If people want to contribute, if they're hearing this and whether it's financial or whether it's, you know what, I've got a dozen rackets in my garage, where can they help?
Well, it's Kids on the Ball, Inc., INC, Kids on the Ball, Inc. We're based up in Burlington. For sure we need any kind of help anybody can give, because we're not only going to continue to do Cuba, but we've got some ideas of how to spread Kids on the Ball in the United States, because we've sort of got a method of a loosely planned a lot of games. And the kids I'm around, they don't want to hear too much advice, but they do want to play games. And I do think that that's where tennis can spread, is in games rather than instruction in some ways.
Sounds like you're describing millennials. No, but I think it makes sense. And I saw it's very smart. I mean, I'm forgetting the term from psychology, but you give kids a lollipop. You're the lifesavers in your pocket. I saw this work. It's a little positive reinforced, but goes a long way. I guess my sort of overarching question, what's the end game here? I mean, is this Cuban kids can play college tennis? Is this go mint some pros from Cuba, like for the first time since Orlando Garrido? I mean, what's the end game?
Well, you know, when I first started to think that this could work, when I first got that big grant of money, and then I just went crazy as far as going around raising money. I broke it down in three phases. I wanted to get the courts done because I knew that they needed courts just to play. Then this building that they have there is just, it could be a beautiful building because it's, I like the way it's set up, but it's just, it's terrible. All the locker rooms are beat up. I mean, this needs, that's the next phase. That's phase two.
The clubhouse there at the center.
Clubhouse there.
Yeah.
Phase three has always been the most important thing, is just interplay between Cuban kids and United States kids. That was the end game, is interplay of the two countries. And that we're closer to that because now they have courts down there. And that was the whole thing. I didn't project out to college tennis or pro tennis, but now that I've seen what good courts and good balls and stuff can do for people, that's a realistic goal, is to get kids into colleges playing college tennis, or pro tennis. I mean, pro tennis is tough.
I'm telling you, thanks to you and your efforts, that National Tennis Center now is a facility where a college team from the U.S. could go for a spring break trip, and they would, they would have a worthwhile time. All right, this is great. I think people may have seen, Nick Pacioli did a nice piece in the New York Times. We had some Tennis Channel coverage, but I'm glad to get a half an hour with you and really get the full story. It's really it's a remarkable thing you're doing.
Great. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Jake. We'll talk. All right, that was Jake Agna, a little bit different, but Jake does tremendous work. I think you get a sense of what kind of a guy he is. Again, this is just a teaching pro from Vermont with absolutely indefatigable reserves of energy, who was moved to change the tennis situation in Cuba, and he's done just that. It's really a remarkable story, and inspiring is one of those words that gets tossed around way too often, especially in sports, but there really is inspiration to be gleaned here. All right, that was Jake. We thank him for spending some time with us. We thank him much more generally and meaningfully for the work he's done in Cuba. It's really a remarkable story. Jamie Lasanti, as always, was our trusty producer. We thank her for her efforts as she tries not to smile and gives a coy nod from across the room. I'm John Wertheim. We will have another guest next week. Keep the suggestions coming. They're always appreciated. Thanks for listening. You can hear the Sports Illustrated Tennis Channel Tennis Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and again, wherever fine podcasts are sold. All right. Have a good week, everyone. We'll be right back.